Can you hear me? Are we ready? Hey, that sounds good. All righty. Thank you. There's always rude awakenings, huh? Whatever. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm excited about tonight. As we've been studying this tremendous book, really now, tonight, and honestly, I'm thinking about Sunday night, dealing with the next little section. We're only going to look at four verses tonight, 19, 20, 21, 22 of chapter 10. We are in what I think is the real place God's been bringing us the whole time in the book of Hebrews. We have been dealing with doctrine, and in that doctrine we've learned some wonderful things. And what we've learned that I believe has been so tremendous is as we look back into the Old Testament, we find that God had ordered the people of Israel to build a tabernacle. And that tabernacle was where God said that He would meet with His people. In Exodus 25, I believe verse number 8, He said that He might dwell among them. That was His desire. God wants to have fellowship with these people. When God made man in the Garden of Eden, He made them for fellowship with Him. And you might remember that it was the cool of the evening that they would walk with God. And of course, when Adam and Eve had sinned, they hid themselves, but God still came looking for them. Not that God didn't know where they was at, but He wanted fellowship with them. Because that fellowship was broken because of over the fact of sin, we find that God made a way for that fellowship to be restored because their sin showed their nakedness. And so God had, I believe, a lamb, it was an animal we know, slain. And that slain animal, the skin were taken and covered their naked bodies. And so they had a covering for their sin. And it's a tremendous picture as God then has this covering. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, becomes our covering, if you please, in that regard. And so we find that that animal died. By the way, it was the first thing that ever died. I don't believe in evolution. If you do, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you believe falsehood. I don't believe in evolution. I believe in creation. And I believe that God made everything to live forever. Because the Bible teaches us that death comes by what? Sin. So until sin came, there was no death. But if you believe in evolution, you believe in death and dying, death and dying, death and dying, to get people or, you know, everything to where it was at. And that's just not simply the case. Folks say, well, there's all this evidence. There's no evidence. Okay? We can take the same so-called evidence and show much more realistically that God created it. Okay? Matter of fact, most evidence is produced more by the flood of Noah's time than through a process of millions and billions of years. So if I go to a museum and there's a display there and it will say, oh, here's a particular thing and it's 10 million years old. And I think, oh, pre-Earth, pre-universe. This thing was in existence. Somebody found it. No, no, no. I believe that God created all. Amen? And so when that animal died, man was clothed. God wanted to restore fellowship with Adam and Eve. And when the Jewish nation was formed with Abraham, and then later as they were birthed out of Egypt, God then said to the children of Israel, I want you to build a tabernacle. Now that tabernacle was a very unique place. It was basically a tent in the sand. And as they would put up the walls of that tent, the outer walls, you would walk into one gate and you would be in the outer court. In the outer court, while you would slay the animal you'd have, and that was a picture of your being saved by the blood of that animal. And people in that outer court could understand, hey, salvation comes by the blood of that lamb. And of course, we know that there's a lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His blood we're saved. We'll talk more about that. If you were to go a little farther into that tabernacle, you come to an area that is called the holy place. And there's a place, you walk into the holy place. It's a square room, basically a cubicle. It has a roof on it. The outer court does not. And as you walk into there, you find some furniture that God has there. We're not going to describe that. And that's a place of service to the priests. Only the priests went there. And by the way, if you're saved, you're considered a priest. We are kings and priests with God. In other words, we can go directly to God or through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you would find that there's this big veil. In the temple, that veil was somewhere around 4 to 5 inches. They said a handbreadth wide. This thing was heavy. And this veil separated between the holy place and the holy of holies. What sometimes we find here is called the holiest. Now, it would not meet the fire codes of today because there was only one exit. And you went in to the one, and from there you went into the other one. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, something very unique took place in the temple. When He died upon the cross, we find that the veil of that temple was rent. And so now the holy place and the holy of holies is not two rooms, it's one. It symbolized something very wonderful because now as we come into this holy place, this holy of holies, this place of service, not only is a place of service, but now it's also a place of fellowship. God wants in your life and my life fellowship. We sometimes think as Christians that all that there is service, serve, serve, serve. And we ought to serve God. But listen, there's something that is more grand, and that is the fellowship we can have with God. There is that union we can enjoy with Him. And so we've seen that as we looked at the doctrinal studies. And in those we find that they've exalted to the glory of Christ's person. They've exalted His priesthood. We find the heavenly sanctuary that He has cleansed with His own blood and opened to us. I said heavenly sanctuary. We've seen that earlier in this chapter. Not just the sanctuary on earth, but the heavenly one. The heavenlies have been cleansed. Our sin that was brought there by Satan is no longer there. The accusations, should I say. And so you and I have a wonderful privilege of access. His obedience, His sacrifice has led Him to the very throne itself. And now we come to a very practical part. And sometimes folks stand, but I'm just going to ask you to stay where you're at. Chapter 10, verse number 19. Now let's notice here. It says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." We're going to park there tonight. And I hope that God will just speak to each of our hearts as we look at some fantastic thoughts. I believe all that we're going to say tonight can be summed up in one thought. I'm going to pull a few verses out of verse 19 and then out of verse number 20. But simply this, having boldness to enter into the holiness or the holiest, let us draw near. Having boldness to enter into the holiest, let us draw near. From verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart." Therefore, I believe great blessings in this new worship, if you so please. There are four tremendous blessings that allow you and I to have this beautiful access to God. And I hope that God just speaks to your heart. The first one I want us to notice here is that the holiest has been opened. As we already mentioned, that veil was rent and those two rooms were exposed one to another. And this is a call to these Hebrews, and by the way, to you and I, to come out of their unbelief and enter into the promised land. Now let's understand what the promised land is. It's the rest of God. We're not talking about heaven. We're talking about a place where we are simply relaxed in the Lord. By the way, the promised land, they had to fight, didn't they? There was a lot of work taking place there, but they were doing it resting in the Lord. You and I, if we are operating in the power and the Spirit of the Lord, we do not have to do that under stress. If we are working with stress, you know what I mean? We're not really allowing God that place in our lives He wants. See? My Bible still says that He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on Thee. Okay? Now, we understand stress because our minds so often are upon ourselves, are they not? And God wants us not to be in that position. And so it's a place of rest, the rest of God, which is a life of fellowship and reliance on Him. I've told this story often, but when I was a little kid, I would often go to the basketball games, and my daddy was a janitor. And sometimes I would go home after the game was over, and sometimes I'd stay with him and help him clean up. That was always prosperous because people would drop quarters out of their pockets, and I would run underneath the bleachers and before he'd shove them back or right afterwards, and I'd be looking for all the quarters and nickels and dimes and what have you that was there. By the way, that was back when a nickel was worth something. And so I would do that. But once in a while, I'd leave by myself, and it'd be dark, and I'd be headed home, and I could take you right where the spot is at. I know it very vivid in my mind. Matter of fact, Lance's house is almost right there. You live in the scary part of town, Lance. And I would come down that street, and as I was coming, there was a great big cottonwood tree. And I just knew as a 9-10-year-old boy that behind cottonwood trees were boogeymen. How many know that? Huh? I knew that. They're gone now, Lance. Okay, you don't have to worry anymore because the tree's gone. Okay, but there used to be a big, big old cottonwood tree right on 25th and Avenue A. And I knew there was a boogeyman there. And so I would walk up to the corner and I'd look both ways, make sure there was no cars coming. And then I would take off on a dead run because if he was going to be after me, he was going to have to work for it. And I would run at least from Avenue A to Avenue B, and sometimes all the way home. And I'm sure glad nobody ever jumped out from behind that thing. But there were nights that I would stay and help my dad, and as we would walk across that street, "Boogie man, you're not going to hurt me." I was relaxed. You understand the difference? Why? I was walking with my Father. Big difference, isn't there? All right, this is what we're finding here. God is teaching us that the holiest, that position where we can walk with the Father, has been open to us. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. It's available. It is open. God is calling us into that wonderful place. It is a call, I believe, to all doubting and thirsting believers who long for a better life, to cast aside our doubts and believe what Christ has done for them. He has opened that way that we might have fellowship. This is the same place, I believe, that Christ entered with His blood to appear before God for us. It is in the very presence of God that we are speaking of here. The Holy Ghost revealed this was not always so. Back in Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 8, it says, "The Holy Ghost, this signifieth the way of the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing." But it seems as though on the day of Pentecost that these things changed. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they're sitting. They were what? Filled with the Spirit of God. What were they? They had the fullness of God with them. So we find the veil has been rent. The entrance is open that first 15 centuries could only be entered in with the pain of death. There was only the high priest once every year that he could do that. And so it is in this place that you and I have the privilege to meet with God, by the way, on a constant basis. How many like Isaiah 40, verse 31? "They that," what? "Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. By the way, you believe that's for all the time or just once in a while? God wants that all the time. They that wait upon the Lord, those who are in that position with Him. The psalmist prayed this in Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." I believe that prayer has been answered. And you and I have that privilege to what dwell in that house of God. That place of fellowship with Him, that place in the presence of God. We spoke on just recently the sheepfold. It was just a brief part of the message, but the sheepfold of which Christ is the door is none other than really the heart of God. It is where we come into that wonderful fellowship with God, that treasure chamber where God reveals all of these hidden riches. But this holiest has been opened. And I believe that you and I have the privilege by the boldness of the blood to enter in. Notice here, it says in verse number 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest," how? "By the blood of Jesus." We've got to grasp the meaning of verse number 19 in that last portion there, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ, of Jesus. Or we'll always be wondering if we can stay within that veil. Do you believe that God wants you to have fellowship with Him? Do you believe God wants you to have that intimacy with Him, knowing the presence of God? I believe so. But there's something that happens in your heart and mind. The thought that a sinful worm like you and I can day by day dwell in the holiest is just too high of a thought. And we think, how in the world, with all of my failures, and the consciousness of our failures so often is very strong, the sense of our personal unfaithfulness is very keen within us. We also experience the power of the world and its draw upon our lives. And we know very, very well the weakness of the flesh in comparison to the strength of the devil and all that is there. Or maybe we ought to actually call it the strength of the flesh. And so we come to the spot where we wonder, I don't think I can have that. I don't think that is for me. I would like it, but I'm just not sure if that is it. But we need to understand what boldness is. We need to understand that this boldness is attached to the blood. As we reflect on the truth, I believe in simple faith, we ought to understand God wants you and I to be there. Understand that boldness to enter is not a conscious feeling of confidence. It is a God-given right of entrance that the blood assures us. How do we enter? By our ability or by the blood of Christ? What does it say? By the blood of Jesus. So it's not by your ability. By the way, did you get saved by your ability? No. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God by your ability, nor do we enter into the presence of God by our ability. It's by the blood of Jesus. Matter of fact, both are. God gave this to us at redemption, and it is sufficient not only to redeem us, but to allow us to have this blessed, wonderful experience of fellowship with Him, being in the presence of God. Which is greater in your sight, your sin or the blood of Jesus? If your sin has kept you back from this fellowship of the Lord, then we need to now start allowing the blood to bring us in. Yes, you've been a failure. Yes, you've messed up. Yes, you've done things wrong. Yes, we are a worm. But our fellowship's not based on that. The just shall live by what? Faith. It's by believing God, not your works. That's why so often Christians say, I'm trying. No, why don't you give up trying and realize God's already done it? And by faith, accept that. You say, well, that means I can just keep on sin and do that? Let me ask you, if you're in fellowship with God, are you going to want to sin? My daddy, because he worked at the same high school I went to, I remember one time walking around the corner and I was with some friends. And as a high school boy, it wasn't used around our house, but I began to use a lot of cuss words. And as we was walking around, and I don't remember what I said, I wouldn't repeat it if I remember it. It's good you can forget some things, amen? And as I was walking around that corner, and I looked up, and there was my daddy on the steps. Do you realize in that moment, I felt very bad about the word I just said, and I was never going to use it again? Not at school. He might be around the corner. When we're walking with God, we don't want to. Because we don't want to displease Him. Isn't that true? And we want to be like Him. And it's the blood of Jesus, by the way, that gets us into that spot. But we get depressed, we get down, we think, man, I've done all these things wrong. Yes, you have. But what does the Bible say? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the works of yourself. Doesn't say that, does it? By the blood of Jesus. Notice verse number 20. By a new and living way. A new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. The veil is what? That is to say, His flesh. What was rent on the cross of Calvary? His flesh. The path to the new and living way is through the death of His flesh. That veil that was rent was His flesh. It is our flesh, brethren, that separates us from God. It is that which sins. It is that which is horrible in the sight of God. But Christ's flesh was rent that He might open the way to man. He took all of our sins upon Him. It was rent apart. Now let's consider. He is our great example, is He not? And if you and I are going to come into this new and living way, I believe we can put together some scriptures and come up with an understanding that the way here, this new and living way, is by dying to self. Is it not true that while we are alive to self, we are basically dead to God? But when we're willing to die inwardly, we can become alive to God. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10 says, always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. When we're willing to die in Christ, when we're willing to die to self, we find now is the place of life. Have you noticed the Christian walk is just opposite of everything that seems natural? Have you noticed that, Roseanne? We call it supernatural. Amen? It's above being natural. And the way to life is death. It seems contrary. But the way to freshness, the way to this new way, is by way of death to self. when we are self-centered or selfish, are we walking with God? No. And everything that happens, we get upset about. We're walking in anger. We're walking in frustration. We're walking in bitterness. But when we're walking in the Spirit, we are dead to self. Those things don't matter. Right? It's a new and living way. God wants you and I in that great place of fellowship. But there's one last thought I'd like for us to notice, and found in verse 22 especially. Having an high priest over the house of God. Now we know that when we come into the presence of God, we come into this wonderful presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, not by our works. We can have fellowship with Him. It's a new way as we've died to self. So why do we talk here about the great high priest? Well, actually, I believe it's the best of all. First of all, I believe because He's awaiting us. He's awaiting us. In Hebrews 8:1 it says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesties in the heavens, of the majesty in the heavens." We have a high priest that is there. He is available for us. He is awaiting for us. He is the one through whom we go to be able to what? Have fellowship with the Father. Normally at the end of our prayers, we tag on a little thing. We somehow get the idea it's some kind of a magical phrase. And we'll say, "In Jesus' name, amen." You all do that, imagine. And oftentimes we do that and we don't even think about it. We just say it. Do you ever think about it, though? It is in Him that we can come to the Father. Amen? He is the high priest. We go through Him. And He is awaiting for us in the position that He has as high priest. But I believe that He has a very real job, if you please, a purpose as our high priest. He's a person. And He's there to make this very real experience. I'm hoping that I'm talking to Christians who at one point or another in their life, it would be great if it was all the time, you have experienced the wonderful presence of God. You have known, perhaps in a time of prayer, perhaps in a time of great need, God is there. God wants that for us all the time. It's through the blood of Jesus, and Jesus as our high priest wants us to understand that. He said this, that it is expedient for you that I depart, didn't He? And the reason He says expedient is because when He leaves, He would send whom? The Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God comes to what? Indwell the believer. Comes to live within. If you're saved tonight, He lives inside of you. He bears witness with your spirit. That's why you can pick up your Bible and you can read it and you begin to understand it for the first time in your life. It's not just history or poetry. It's not just words on a paper. You can understand spiritual truth. He illuminates that to our mind. He also works as a great comforter. We like that portion of the Spirit of God, don't we? And He comes to comfort us. And we have so many needs in our lives, and yet He's there to help us through. I've thought so many times, a time of death, the death of a loved one, how in the world does a lost world do this? How do they do this? I've taken loved ones to the cemetery, and we've left them there. And how does the world do that? They have no hope. They have no Spirit of God putting that comfort in their soul. It's tough enough with it. But He's there as the sweet comforter. This one we don't like quite as well, but He's also the convictor. Convincing us, not only of our sin, but also convincing us of truth. seeking to show us, and I believe in this case, as we're looking here, to convince us, hey, we can access God, be in His presence through the blood of Christ. Even though we've got all this mess in our life, we can come to Him. We can confess it. We can walk in the presence of God. We can walk in that presence day in and day out. And His purpose is to make that very real to us. And as He sent the Spirit of God into our lives, I believe that's a part of it. And listen, when we die to self and we yield ourselves to God, the Holy Spirit now can have full control. We call it the fullness of the Spirit. And it's a matter we simply yield. Some folks say, well, I've got to get rid of this, I've got to get rid of that, we've got to get rid of the other thing. No, just yield. He goes in and does the cleaning. Here I am. By the way, it's an act of the will. And too often we're waiting to feel like it. It's, Lord, You can have it. Have you ever got up in the morning and just said, Lord, I'm Yours? You might not feel like it. You might feel like turning over and going back to sleep. You know what I mean? If you haven't brushed your teeth yet, you're feeling like, oh, yuck. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of thoughts might run through our minds and the feelings that might be there. But I say, Lord, here I am. I'm Yours today. The best I know how, I yield myself to You. It's an act of the will. Now, I might find myself later on where I've taken that back and it's time for me to do that again. But God wants us in that position whereby we are, as Galatians calls it, walking in the Spirit. By the way, He says, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that interesting? And a lot of Christians are trying real hard not to do things wrong. And all we need to do is yield to Him, have that fellowship with Him, and He kind of takes care of the rest of that. It's by believing Him and accepting what He has already done for us. Amen? I want to tell you something. That has revolutionized my life so much, understanding those kinds of truths. It's not really a struggle gospel anymore. It's believing God. Amen? So I hope those mean something. Ask God what I should do come Sunday night, because I'm thinking about going to the next very little part because it'll be such a thing. I'd love to have all of our folks together for that. These are tremendous verses here. And we find just great thoughts as we come on down through here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. And let's just seek Him for a few moments. Father, we thank You this evening. We've had the privilege to gather together and to know that You want fellowship with our soul. You want fellowship with us. And Lord, we just not always believe that. Somehow we've thought we had to clean our lives up and go through this process and that. When really we just need to believe You and what You have done for us through the blood of Jesus. Not only we have salvation, but sanctification. Not only we have the privilege of access to heaven when we die, but we have access to God when we live. And Lord, I pray that You just cause these things to become very real in our hearts if they haven't. Lord, these are truths that sometimes we just need. They're so simple, and yet we make them so difficult. So, Lord, sometimes we just need You to keep reminding us. And, Lord, I pray that You would help every one of Your people to realize and understand there is not only hope, there is reality of the presence of God day by day, moment by moment, when we just simply believe You for it and we yield ourselves to it. Lord Jesus, when we die to ourselves, not desiring our way but Yours, Lord, just work in our hearts in these matters and bless. Lord, we thank You tonight for many answers to prayer, the privilege we've had to make our petitions known, and You hear those. I'm thankful tonight You don't tell us no.
Lord, you've promised us, and we pray in your will, that you will hear an answer. Lord, when we request from you because the Spirit is laid upon our hearts, we can know that you answer. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to work in the blessed hearts and lives. Thank you for, we know you got beat up a little, but we're so thankful, make us alive. We do pray for this family, that their son and husband and father is gone. God, I pray that you would help them to experience the anointing of the Spirit of God in their lives. Father, I pray that in our community that it might alert some folks and awaken people to the need of Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done in so many lives. And we pray that you continue to bless. We ask your blessing again for our folks who are dealing with kids throughout here and those who are working with them, some of them one-on-one, maybe a couple at a time, and helping them to learn the Word of God. Father, pray to go deep within their soul. You have said that thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so, Lord, I pray that not just in our minds, but in their hearts, this word might be sealed. Lord, I pray for each of these folks in here tonight, you might bless them and strengthen them in the things of God. Bless the fellowship to follow. May you be glorified through our lives as we yield ourselves to you. We pray these things in our Savior's name.